Welcome to the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Dame, holistic nutrition coach and speaker. Together, we'll be diving into much more than just another conversation around sugar addiction and nutrition. But more importantly, I'll be guiding you through the inner work and spiritual healing that lies at the root of your unhealthy habits with food. Let's dive in. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another week and another episode here on the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Dame, sugar freedom expert and somatic embodiment coach. And if you're new to the show, I have an amazing episode in store for you today because we're bringing back an oldie but a goodie. I know many of you are familiar with the term throwback Thursday. Well, we're doing a throwback Tuesday today because long overdue is sharing my story with all of you again. And what I'm going to do for all of you today is actually replay episode number 2 from the podcast. That is actually the most downloaded episode on the show. I was looking back, wanting to bring some old episodes out of the vault and share with you again. And this was the one that obviously was the most interesting to all of you and to everyone back when I first started my podcast in February 2022. So this is my story and it's long overdue that I'm sharing this again. I know many of you, since I've published this episode way back over a year ago, there are many of you who are brand new listeners to the show or haven't really heard my story and only have gotten pieces of it every week when I share a little bit about, you know, what I'm going through and my life and my journey. So that's why I wanted to bring this one back. This feels really important for all of you to understand the journey that I've been through. And even since actually recording that episode, so much has transpired and so much of my journey continues to unfold. I will definitely record more updates about my journey and you know, my healing and my relationship with food as I continue to be challenged and learn new things and grow in different areas. And I will definitely be recording more episodes like this in the future with those details. But for now, I want to bring this good one back. This was a really first sort of groundwork of my story in my childhood and the transformations and the shifts that happened for me over the few years that I really actively was trying to get off of sugar. So there's lots that I share in this journey and in this story. And I hope that you really love listening to this again, even if maybe you've already listened to episode 2 back when I first launched the podcast. I want you to listen again and I want you to really hear for yourself and pieces that may really resonate in maybe what you're being challenged by or where you feel like you're stuck. I really hope that this inspires you and I hope that it, you know, inspires you to keep listening to the podcast and to keep working with me, to keep reaching out, sharing the love and just so much gratitude for each and every one of you who have been on this journey with me and continue to be on this journey with me. And those of you, of course, who have entrusted me in supporting you in this journey, in my programs and in the coaching that I do, I'm just so forever grateful. So shout out to all of you first and foremost. And I really hope that you love this Throwback Tuesday episode and that it inspires you to continue in your path in whatever that looks like. So without further ado, let's go ahead and play that replay of our most downloaded episode, My Story Through Sugar Addiction. Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to another episode on the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast. I'm so excited. We're rocking and rolling. We're already on episode 2 and with many more to come. So hopefully you're already loving this and you were able to check out episode 1, get a little bit of a feel for what we're about, what this podcast is about, what I'm about, and what we're going to be diving into together over the months and years to come. So really, really looking forward to it. And today, we're going to be taking a bit more of a deep dive into who is Danny. You know, I really want to give all of you who don't know who I am yet a chance to sort of hear my story and my journey through sugar addiction and where these pieces started for me and how I was able to overcome and get into this beautiful place that I call sugar freedom. We're also going to be talking about today, what is sugar freedom? Okay, this is a term that I know a lot of people use in the health and nutrition space, and it has a different meaning to everybody. So it's really important that you understand going forward on this podcast, what meaning that has here at the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast, so that you can understand, you know, in the future, as we're talking about sugar freedom and getting to this place of ultimate control and love and freedom within ourselves when it comes to food and sugar. And so much more, obviously. Now, before we dive in to today, we're also going to be covering, actually, at the end of today's episode, I'm going to touch as well on the crazy debate, abstinence versus moderation. Okay, we're gonna go there because I have a very different way of looking at this conversation and approaching this conversation. And I know many of you who are tuning in, you know, have been following experts in the sugar addiction space for years, really struggling with moderation ever, and just feeling like there's no hope for you. You're an addict. You have to give up sugar for the rest of your life. And I want to share an alternative view with you, and something that I believe that's quite radically different than people who are really in the sugar addiction model type space versus the moderation type space. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but we're going to have that debate. We're going to have that conversation. I'm going to share some really eye-opening pieces with you that are so, so important. So stay tuned for that. That's obviously, this is going to be a big episode. We're rocking and rolling here. And before we get into this episode, and actually, before we get into any episode, I'm going to be sharing with you a fun little segment that I've put together called Weekly Insights. And this is, the purpose of this is, you know, at the beginning of every episode, I want to keep you guys in the loop. I want to keep you in the loop with my life, with my learning, with my growth. I am forever figuring things out and failing and learning and growing. I'm a human being just like all of you. And that is so important. And that is a big pillar of what we're all about here at the Beyond Sugar Freedom podcast, is knowing that we're walking this path together and knowing that we're all in this together, even if we're at slightly different stages. So as I'm going through my personal transformation and my growth, every week there's something that comes up, a challenge that happens, an interaction or conversation I have with a client that really reminds me of some really beautiful lessons and insights. And I want to make sure that I bring those to you every single week. So at the start of every episode, I'm going to give you all a little bit of a life update and bring you a weekly insight that I think is really, really important as we're doing this inner work and starting to learn to shift our minds and really shift our identity. We're going to be talking a lot more about identity, but we're going to have whole episodes on that for sure coming up. But really, just at the beginning, you know, I want to offer you different ways of seeing things. So I hope that you come to these episodes with an open mind, an open heart. I'm here to really push you and to offer you crazy new ways of looking at things, because the truth is, when we look around at the state of our health and our world, what we've been doing is not working. Okay, something needs to change. And I'm willing to bet a lot of you listening are feeling that same thing. You know, you've been doing the same diet or same routine or way of thinking your whole life, continuing to hit your head against the wall, trying it again, every January, every year, trying the same thing over and over again, right? And failing every time and feeling miserable and guilty and shameful about it. And I'm here to offer some really radical alternative ways of looking at things that in my own life and for my clients over the last 5 years has dramatically improved their happiness, their ability to have a healthy relationship with food and themselves and other people, friendships, romantic relationships. I mean, this ripples out in all areas of our life, not just food. So that's a long way of saying I'm going to share a weekly insight with you at the beginning of every episode every week. So this week, what I want to share with all of you is actually at the time of this recording, I just got back from a 4-day silent retreat. One of my goals is to, over the next couple of years, whenever it flows and aligns, is to actually attend a 10-day Vipassana retreat. For anybody who doesn't know what that is, it's a style of retreat where it's 10 days of nothing but meditation and silence. And I know that as an extrovert, as someone who loves talking, loves being social around other people, I know that that would be extremely challenging for me, which is why I want to do it. So that is a goal of mine. And unfortunately, right now, just with the state of the world and some things going on, it's not happening in the near future for me. So I thought to myself, I can still take myself away and not talk to anybody and do a lot of meditating and have my own little mini silent retreat. So I did that this past weekend, and the insight that I want to share from that and the reason that I did that, and I know if any of you have been following me or in my Facebook groups or have done any of my programs, you know that this is a big, big piece of the journey is learning to slow down. So the sad truth is that we've been taught in our society that the busy you are and the more books you read, the more answers you're going to find out, right? The more experts you listen to, the more podcasts you listen to, the more you're going to figure out and find all the answers to your problems, right? And you're going to find that one thing that's finally going to solve everything for you. And it's so not true. Okay. The actual truth is that you have all of the answers that you need within. Your inner knowing and higher self and your intuition, your gut, whatever you want to call it, is always speaking to you. And it is such a practice of learning to listen. And the only way that you're ever going to hear what your higher self and your intuition have to share with you, answers to your challenges, answers to things that you really are struggling with, is if you get still and silent. Okay, this is one of the reasons why meditation is so important and is blowing up everywhere talking about meditation, but there's many ways to do this. You don't have to meditate. You know, what I did on my retreat was just sit with a cup of tea and literally stare out the window for hours by just being with myself, going for a walk, no technology, no phone, nothing in my ears, no music, just being in stillness and silence so that I can let my inner whispers come through. So that's the message that I wanted to share with all of you, and a little reminder to create those pockets of stillness. I know not all of you are going to be able to just take off for 4 days and be in stillness and face your boredom and all the things that I was ready to face. I mean, there's a lot of emotions that come up, and there's a lot of resistance that comes up to being in stillness because we're so disconnected from feeling, right? And we're going to be diving deep into the conversation around feelings in a couple episodes, so stay tuned. But just a reminder that the answers you have are already there. You already know what you need to do and what's best for you. You don't need an expert. You don't need me telling you what to do. You don't need anybody. You just need to listen to yourself and create the space in your day for those answers to come through. And to trust those answers. That's a whole conversation for another day. So take some time to be in stillness, whether you have a meditation practice or you've always wanted one, or you want to take a hot bath just in silence tonight, or go for a walk in nature without anything in your ears, or leave your phone at home. Just spend some time like in stillness, in silence, like really turning everything out so that you can tune back in. So that's your reminder, little insight for you today. And let's dive in to the official episode. We'll go now. Who is Dani? Okay, I want to start off here. For those of you who don't know me, I want to give you a little bit of a background. I am a certified holistic nutrition coach, and I've been for the last 5 years helping women overcome their sugar addiction and learn to step fully into their power and their true selves. So this is really at the root of everything that I do, is uncovering these deeper pieces and these deeper voids that are within all of us, and doing that inner healing so that we can outwardly, you know, have healthy habits, have healthy relationships, be at peace with food, our body, all these wonderful things, and be happy and joyful. I mean, isn't that what we all want? You know, we want the body so we can go on adventures and have health and live a long, happy life, right? So this is the big part of what I do. It's not just talking about food. If you haven't gotten that already, of course, we'll talk about food in this podcast, but the deeper pieces are so important if you want to create lasting change and you really want to create that shift from the inside out. So I've been doing this for 5 years and I have learned a lot. I have studied with a lot and learned from a lot of experts in this space. I have worked with countless clients, and it's amazing how much I learn. I'm really, really perceptive, and I really have learned a lot. Every time I work with a client, I see a new area or a new depth or a new conversation that needs to happen. So a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you in this podcast is definitely inspired from what I've seen in the last 5 years, what I've noticed in all of my clients, not really deeply loving themselves or feeling worthy, right? How our beliefs play a factor in our patterns with food, right? How our disconnection from our inner child and our past traumas dictate how we numb out or don't numb out with certain substances. You know, all of these things that I have seen firsthand working with my clients. And I'm so, so grateful for each and every one of them, for how much they've taught me and how much that is allowed me to really step into new versions of myself every year and supporting my clients in even deeper way. So a couple fun facts. I'm going to share in just a second my personal journey with sugar. I know you're all curious, you know, what's my history with sugar addiction and dependency. But little fun facts, first of all, about Danny is that I'm really silly. Okay, I'm really silly and I'm also really clumsy. I love to laugh and smile and have a good time. And we're going to have a lot of fun on this podcast. You know, I'm going to make jokes. I'm going to maybe swear. So a little heads up. Sometimes I want to swear when things get powerful. And, you know, we're really just going to talk about some of these deep topics, but have fun with it at the same time and know that the balance, there has to be a balance between, you know, really feeling and going into these deep, dark places and feeling the hurt and feeling, you know, the difficult pieces that we need to grow through and transition. But we need to balance that with fun and playfulness. And this is actually a big goal of mine in 2022, is to just to be more playful in my own life and to just bring that light and that joy out, even if we're in a dark place, right? And I know that's often the hardest. And I'm very, very, I struggle with that big time when I'm in a dark place, is trying to find the joy. But I am finding myself more and more being able to laugh when I notice my ego sneaking in and trying to like self-sabotage me. I just laugh now. I'm like, oh, silly little ego. And I can push it aside, right? And we can start to get better and better at those things when we allow ourselves to be playful. So I am super silly, super clumsy. I'm knocking things over, breaking things all the time. Fun fact. I definitely am obsessed with nature. I live here on beautiful Vancouver Island in Canada. And for anybody who's listening that went, oh, I know Vancouver. It's not Vancouver. I say this all the time. And immediately people start talking about how they've always wanted to come visit Vancouver and they love Vancouver. I do not live in Vancouver. I live on Vancouver Island, which, anybody's curious, look at a map of Canada on the west coast of Canada. You're going to see a giant island just as big as Japan called Vancouver Island with multiple cities on it. And we are right across the water from Vancouver, but we have to take a boat to get there. So I don't go there often. But yes, I live on this beautiful island and it's definitely a lovely slower pace of life. And we have so much nature. And this is, you know, I grew up on this west coast of Canada and it's in my blood, connecting with the ocean. I love being in water, swimming in lakes and rivers. I love hiking. My husband and I are actually avid backcountry hikers. And yes, for anyone curious, I do make and dry all of my own sugar-free meals when we do hike. One day I might make a cookbook for all of you on that if anybody's interested, but it is a whole endeavor and it was a challenge that I'm definitely up for. And trust me, it's so much better when, like everything, you homemade it, it's so much better than chemical-laden junk that often exists out there. So nature is my love language. Nature is my soul. And it's also where I connect the most with myself, with the universe, being barefoot, being outside, swimming, like hiking, anything to do with nature, which is, full disclosure, quite hard for many months of the year here where it's quite dark and cold and rainy. We get a lot of rain, but I still make it happen as much as I can. And I always look forward to spring and summer when I can do it even more. And the last thing I wanted to share, fun fact, just as we're getting this podcast started, I eat sugar. Ah, cue gasp. Gasp. I need a gasp button on the podcast. I'll have to find one. I eat sugar. I am Danielle and I eat sugar. And I'm going to share a little bit more about how that is at the end of this podcast when I'm really talking about this moderation conversation. But I eat sugar. It's on my terms and it's very rarely. And I know exactly what my body can handle and when is too much and when is not. And I have to reiterate this. I am human. There are times when I eat more than I know is good for my body. Or I'm on a road trip and oops, I forgot to pack food and I have to like stop and get a sandwich that's loaded with sugar somewhere or something, right? So I'm still human. And the beauty in what we're going to be exploring on this podcast is really our mindset around that and around not guilting and shaming ourselves and getting back on track right away after without letting it derail us into this whole whirlwind of months of binge eating. Okay. So yes, I will be sharing more about that, but I think that's an important piece because a lot of people, I don't want you putting me up on some sort of crazy pedestal. And just know that I'm human. And I'm sharing from this very real place on this podcast where I've been through a lot of the ups and downs with sugar and with, you know, struggling with my mental health around sugar and what I made it mean about myself and all of these pieces. So that's a good transition now here to talk about like where my sugar addiction came from and how this started for me, and my journey really started at childhood, just like all of ours did. I'm willing to bet yours did as well too. For most of us, you know, we were raised in that era, you know, that was either the like fear of fat era where everybody was just binging on carbs and junk, right? Or, you know, I was kind of born just coming out of that era. It was still a part of my childhood, but we ate a lot of sugar growing up. My mom is very addicted to sugar. I mean, I'd say my dad was as well, but less so apparently. And my mom was very much. So I had this influence like most of us did, and combined with being a really picky eater. So I always joke that I grew up only eating white things, and it was pretty much true, right? Like white pasta, white rice, white cheese. The only color I had was like those little candy color things, you know, like all the candies, multiple colors and Starburst and Skittles and all the candy things. Loved sugar. I've always loved sugar. I actually used to, I love sharing this story because it just makes me actually physically sick when I share this story, but I'm going to share it with all of you. I used to sneak into the kitchen as a child. Like I have this memory, and I used to bring my friends with me, and my parents were outside, maybe like cutting the grass or something. And I would sneak into the kitchen, and my dad drank coffee every morning, and he had like those, you guys remember those boxes of sugar cubes, right? The cubes are all stacked up. I used to go in and like, and load my pockets with sugar cubes, and my friends, right? And we would go to my bedroom and just eat all these sugar cubes. Like we used to like almost be like squirrels saving for winter, except we didn't save them. We ate them. And I can't even imagine how many teaspoons of sugar I would eat in one sitting, just popping sugar cubes like a total addict would, right? And, you know, the countless examples in my childhood, we had dessert after dinner every night. We were rewarded with sugar left, right, and center. A lot of my patterning and shame around eating sugar and eating, you know, foods that weren't great for me also came from like my mom hiding her addiction to sugar. My mom always had her hidden candy drawer, right? And there was a lot of like sneaking around. And this is like in later episodes, we're going to definitely talk about how to detect if you do have a problem with sugar. And that's a big red flag that there's this sneakiness, right? There's almost this shame of like being caught eating licorice or being caught eating a bowl of ice cream or something. So that was definitely like exemplified for me. And it was just, I mean, I have to say this, like for all of our parents, right? We didn't know what we didn't know back in the day, okay? And we're just learning this stuff now about how toxic sugar is and how all of our physical ailments are really stemming from blood sugar dysregulation, which we're going to talk about in an upcoming episode. But we're just learning this now. So there's no blame game at all. And I am so grateful for the amazing childhood that I had. But looking back, I notice how that really set me up physically and mentally, emotionally for those addictive patterns around sugar. And for me, you know, this went on my whole life. I went off to university, and then I was becoming this young woman. I thought I was eating healthy. You know, I was eating salads, but I was also eating the traditional university diet. There was a lot of pizza. There was a lot of ice cream. There was a lot of desserts and junk, you know, in class, you know, those sorts of things that kind of went on. And I didn't think much of it because I wasn't yet gaining weight, and I would go to the gym and I would play soccer, and I was active, so I must be fine, right? That was like, that's what we think, right? We just think that if your body looks an okay shape and size, there's no problem. And that's so not true. And I'm so glad I had the wake-up call early, because there's a lot of you listening that maybe have a regular healthy body weight, but on the inside, everything is not healthy, right? And not doing okay. So we can't judge people, we never judge people, right? But we can't look at people and just assume that they are healthy on the inside and the outside. And for me, you know, this went on as it did, and I went off into work. And for those who don't know, this is maybe another episode, another day, but I actually got my degree in finance and went off to work in one of the biggest banks here in Canada in a high net worth department. I worked with a portfolio manager. It was like a very important, successful looking job. And that was like my definition of success, right? It was like, ooh, get a like job in this fancy office, and I get to wear high heels all day and like push papers around and be treated like crap. That was a huge turning point for me. Working in that office for 2 years, I never in my life remember being so miserable. It was completely soul-sucking on many levels, and I'm sure I'll share more about this as we talk more about, we'll have more emotional conversations, because this is a big turning point for me with my emotional eating. But really knowing, just, you know, that was such a turning point and such a misery time in my life of depression and anxiety and stress. And I mean, heaven grateful that my partner Ben stayed with me at that time. He was also miserable at his job, also in finance. And we got to a point where we took the very first giant, crazy, scary leap and the net will appear decision. And we quit our jobs and really just in our souls knew that there was more to life. And we had to do something about it. And we weren't just going to be complacent and like suck it up and make do like so many do. And I know some of you listening might be in that space, and just know that I'm sharing that with so much love and hope that you can make these powerful decisions for yourself and the net will appear and things will be okay when you follow your heart and your dreams. So we quit having no idea what to do. I'd always wanted to travel for an extended period of time and learn another language, specifically Spanish. So we actually decided to travel in South America for a whole year. So we did that. We went around and I learned Spanish. Yo hablo español. We're actually not practiced. I need to practice some more, but it was such an incredible trip. So many reasons, but this really ties into my sugar turning point, because on that trip was when I really started to notice how food made my body feel. I started tuning in both in my own body, but also seeing how other people in these very, very different cultures related differently with food, like how they bought all their food from these giant, amazing markets. I miss the markets. They were amazing, where you would haggle for your, like, for your paltas, your avocados. Ben, I left all the haggling up to Ben. He was so good at it, even in Spanish. So, you know, they buy their food and cook. They would cook their own meals. It wasn't like fast food convenience. Mind you, that's becoming more and more prevalent, especially in bigger cities with McDonald's and fast food joints coming in and completely obliterating people's health in these third world countries, which is a rant for another day. But, you know, really witnessing this and being in those spaces where also seeing people who have so little be so happy, cooking their own meals, really like knowing where their food came from, and really having that deeper connection, spiritual and physical, emotional connection with food. And that really opened my eyes, because I realized how disconnected I was from food and how disconnected I was from my body. And it was at the end of that trip, the very end, where I went through what I call my accidental sugar detox. We were at a yoga retreat, completely living off the land in Colombia, of all places. And because we were eating so clean after eating for 11 months junk, right? We were living on, luckily we were eating avocados, but we were living on white bread and cookies and cakes that we could bring on 30-hour bus rides with us. That wouldn't go bad, right? So we were definitely not nourishing our bodies in the big way, and especially in the Andes Mountains where it's just white rice and potatoes. We were eating a lot of that and really just started noticing our bodies get bogged down. And at the end of this trip, we were eating so clean at this yoga retreat that our bodies and my body went into sugar like detox. And I had no idea what was happening at the time. It was really weird. I was actually very concerned because I was hungry at weird times. I couldn't sleep through the night. I would be kind of irritable. I just remember like having digestive problems and having headaches and just some really weird things showing up for me that I was like, what is happening here? I'm eating good food. Why am I feeling this way? And I didn't actually put two and two together until I came home, because that 2 week stint was actually about a week later we came home to Canada. And I just remember feeling like I no longer wanted a cookie. Like it was almost like it was the first time I noticed that I'd been driven by my cravings my whole life. And now I almost like I didn't have that same physical craving for a cookie or for something sweet that I used to have. It wasn't completely gone, but it was like, oh, when I think about like having a bagel or having a bag of candy, my mouth isn't watering in the same way that it used to. And I just started really being curious about that. And I came home to Canada and really just we were both actually wanting to recommit to our health. We actually went vegetarian for a while and just cleaned up our diet. And we really both around the same time, like coming home and noticing our cravings and really noticing, hey, I think we've been eating too much sugar and I think it's a problem. So we just had this really eye-opening experience of our body shifting and our taste bud shifting. I remember coming home so excited to have a caramel frappuccino, because that used to be my like go-to at Starbucks. And I remember going in, because there's no Starbucks, or there didn't used to be in South America. This was about 6 or 7 years ago. And coming home and having that and having to spit it out. It was so weird. I was like, what? I used to love these. What happened to my taste buds? And the truth is my taste buds grew back. I'm no longer hijacked in the same way from sugar. So it was just really a lot of these little moments that started really helping me reconnect with my body and notice that, hey, sugar's a problem. And then began the learning. I became so curious with nutrition and health and wanting to help other people with this in their own life. So really started to develop the concept for my business and get my nutritional coaching certification. And all along the way, really unfolding and discovering nuances of my relationship with food and, more importantly, my relationship with sugar. And this unfolding and discovering of my addiction to sugar really took a good 2 to 3 years of learning that this is a problem, learning that I'm addicted to it and sugar is actually controlling me, which is a big motivation for me because I don't like being controlled. I like to be in control. And the other piece that I really took a hard look at was the truth that everyone in my family, like on my mostly my mother's side of the family and my patrilineal side, but mostly my matrilineal side of my family, was very addicted to sugar and riddled with every single chronic disease. I started kind of having these light bulbs like, oh, because my mom and her whole side of the family is cancer and Alzheimer's and heart disease and obesity and name it, arthritis, like everything. And I started kind of putting that together. Oh, I wonder if it's because of the way they eat. I wonder if this has to do with sugar. And I started making that connection and realizing that's not the future that I want for myself. So I got really fired up and I'm still fired up to this day that, you know, I want to be 90 and hiking, backcountry hiking and traveling the world and doing all these things with my 90-year-old body. I don't want to be bedridden or couch ridden or dependent on medications. So really tuning into that and seeing that that was going to be my genetic like history if I continued doing what I was doing. So it really caused me to take that hard look at myself and sugar and do something about it. And I'll be sharing more details about that, obviously, as we go through this podcast. But the 2 to 3 years that I struggled with sugar, you know, is such a humbling experience because I was all alone, first of all. Don't do that. Don't do that. And you don't have to do that. Obviously, you're listening to this podcast. You know you don't have to do that. Reach out. Let me know if you want support. I'm here for you. And, you know, I did it alone. I had no support. And I had no idea what I was doing, right? I had no idea, like, what was going on or why I couldn't get rid of sugar, right? I would go off sugar and then the cravings would come back and I'd be binging again. And then I would go off sugar for a little bit and then I would be binging on sugar again. And this went on for a good 2 years until I finally got to the point at the same time, was doing a lot of inner work, a lot of inner healing. Anyone who's curious, the best personal development course that you can ever take is starting your own business. So I did this at the same time. And because I'd started my own business, I was having to force a lot of my limiting beliefs, a lot of my self-sabotaging patterns and behaviors and traumas and different things that were really coming up for me. And as I was working at that, at the same time as trying to clean up my diet, I noticed that they obviously went together, right? The more inner work that I did, the easier it became to make healthy food choices. And it was around that somewhere between the 2 and 3 year mark that I remember finally feeling like I broke through and I had control over my decisions around sugar and my mind around it because I'd done a lot of this deep inner healing work and it had finally caught up to the point where, oh, this is what was missing and this is what I needed. It's not just about the detox. So the spiritual connection started coming through for me as well. And we're going to talk more about that in different episodes. So that's a Cole's notes of my story. There's obviously lots of pieces. I'll be sharing my experiences with you as we keep going on this amazing journey together of this podcast. And as we start wrapping things up here, there's two more things obviously I want to talk about. Okay, sugar freedom. What is it? And the moderation versus abstinence conversation. So sugar freedom, okay? There's two terms that you hear a lot of, sugar free and sugar freedom. So sugar free is total abstinence from sugar, right? No sugar, zero sugar. And just so we're clear, sugar is all the white stuff, not all the white stuff, but white flour, white pasta, obviously all the obvious sugars, all the alternative sugars, right? All these added natural sugars as well. So sugar-free is someone or a term when something like has zero sugar in it. Sugar-freedom is the term that I use very often. I actually have a whole monthly membership community called the Sugar Freedom Collective, which is obviously focused on a lot of this inner work and community. So sugar freedom is a state of being. Okay, this is a state of being where you are now back in the driver's seat and in control of your relationship with sugar and food in general. It's a place of ultimate control and self-love. Okay, this is a place where like, cravings don't control you. And when you choose to indulge in sugar, if you choose to have a glass of wine or have a brownie, it's a conscious choice from a place of self-love as opposed to something that you have to have right now, right? That urgency or that shame, right? And it's a place as well where there's no shame and there's no guilt. You have the brownie, you enjoy it, your body digests it, you're grateful that you did it, and you move on with life. And it doesn't derail you, okay? This is a place of ultimate freedom, which is why I call it sugar freedom, where you are so in the driver's seat that it's easy to have just one. Yes, I know there are a lot of you right now that are like, I can't have just one. Crazy people only have just one. And this kind of drives me into this next really, really big debate, right? This abstinence versus moderation debate in the sugar addiction space. And I know there are a lot of experts out there on both sides. And I mean, I don't think there's sides. There's never sides. We're all, you know, aiming at the same goal here. But my view, and I want to really just share this with all of you, is that I believe, and I know this through my own felt experience, working with clients the last 5 years, studying and learning from experts like Gabor Maté, who's done so much work around addictions. Check him out if you haven't already. It's just really powerful things. And these addictions and what he's been proving and lots of other leaders in the space have been proving is that all addictions really stem from a deep place of inner disconnection and trauma. So when we understand that, we can heal those places, right? We can heal those places. And with something like sugar, that's not necessarily hard drugs, is a food item, right? It is something that in tiny amounts isn't going to kill you, right? It's not going to totally derail you, and your body can flush it out if your body is healthy and working properly and you're not on the addictive pattern. So healing these deep inner wounds became my obsession. And this is the angle that I take and the work that I do with my clients is getting to the root causes so that we're not stuck in a forever pattern of binging, failing, doing great, mentally beating ourselves up, talking negative, guilting ourselves, shaming ourselves, doing good for a month, binging again, like this roller coaster that is so damaging for our bodies and our minds and our happiness and our mental health and everything. And one of the things that I've seen so many people misdiagnosing themselves as addicts and just assuming, oh, I can just never have sugar again because no matter how many times I try to give it up, I can never just have one cookie and it totally spirals me out of control. And I just must be an addict and I need to stay away from sugar for the rest of my life. And some people, yes, that's true. I'm going to say that. Some people, yes, that's true. Some of us, I know there's a lot of, there can be genetic components. There can be like really deeply rooted addictive components for a small segment of the population. But I want to radically state right here that I believe most of you and most of the people that are struggling with sugar addiction can get to a place of healthy moderation if they commit and do the deeper healing. And this is the big if, and this is why, like if you're sitting there right now going, I've tried that, I've been to therapy, and I still can't give it up, or I still can't just have one cookie. Let me share this, okay? This is so important, is if you believe you just can't moderate, if you believe that you're just a lost cause, right? This is such a big sign that you have not actually done the deep healing. And I share this with so much love. It is so easy to think that we're doing all the things. I've done all the detoxes. I've been to therapy. I'm still slipping into old habits and I give up on myself. I'm not going to give up on you because I know that this deep inner healing is going to take longer than a year. I'm still doing it. 6 years into my like inner healing work, I'm still learning and growing. This stuff takes deep time. And especially if you have some very deep rooted traumas or there's some very big patterns there that need to be rewired, this takes time. And this is where most people just give up because they get a year or 2 years in and they just say, I just can't do it. And it's because they haven't looked at the right areas. They haven't looked at the right root cause that's actually causing them to continue being disconnected with themselves and not love themselves and believe that they're worthless, right? These pieces that so easily get ignored because they are difficult. Okay, most of us want the easy way out. And I know I am guilty of this in my life lots as well. And you just can't do that. So I am going to stand up right here for you on this podcast and believe in you and not give up on you in this journey. And I know that you can get to a place where healing is possible. And yes, it's going to take effort and it's going to take time and it's going to take a lot of tears and it's going to be difficult. And that's okay. And this is why it's so important to have the right guidance and the right support and the right community. Because as you're on this journey, it gets really tricky. Like a lot of these deep inner wounds are really challenging to navigate. And it's so easy for our ego mind to come in and try to control us or self-sabotage us or drag us back down. So we need to look at these deep areas. And most of us are not. We're avoiding them because they're icky and uncomfortable and difficult. And I'm calling all of you out on that with so much love because I've been there. I've done the exact same thing and I can't hide anymore. And when I stopped hiding and started really committing and becoming addicted with my inner healing, everything changed. And I know that it can for you too. So that's my radical different view. And I stand here boldly and really believe that this inner deep healing is possible for anyone and it's gonna take time. And I so believe that you can do that if you're ready to commit to it. So I hope you are. And, you know, I hope that clears some things up, gives you a great idea of who I am, what I've been through. As I said, there's so much more to that story, and I'm excited to share my own personal experiences, my own things with you as we go episode by episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know this one was a lot longer than episode one, but there's so much that I want to share, and I have some really, really great episodes coming up for you. And in the next couple of weeks, we're also going to start bringing in some guest experts. It's not just going to be me here. We're going to be mixing it up, talking about so many different topics and hearing stories from my clients, from other experts who have been through this journey and have their own wisdom and own tips to share with you around navigating this tricky conversation with sugar. So thank you so much again for tuning in. I hope you all have an amazing week and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. If you're loving what we talked about today, please remember to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone you love. And if you're ready to dive deeper into discovering your root causes and patterns that are keeping you hooked on sugar, be sure to check out our brand new free workshop series that will help you kick emotional eating for good. Find the link to download this free series and other amazing resources in the show notes below.